Okay, you have to see this. I'm standing on a strip of asphalt in the middle of the water, not near the water. In it, there's Chesapeake Bay on my left, and there's Chesapeake Bay on my right, and there is a runway threaded down the spine of an island so small you could walk across it before your engines even cool. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check. And today I flew out to a place that is quietly disappearing off the map, and I'm not kidding when I tell you it might be the best $100 hamburger run on the entire East Coast. Tanger Island, Virginia, identifier Kilo Tango Golf, India. Let me take you there. Here's the setup. You're out over the Chesapeake and the mainland's a smudge behind you, and ahead there's this low green line that barely lifts above the chop 12 miles from anywhere. And I mean anywhere, no bridge, no causeway. The only way onto this island is a boat or a set of wings, and if you've got the wings, you are the luckiest person in the bay today. You come down toward runway 2, 2,400 feet of pavement, and it feels like they laid it right on top of the marsh grass. You're landing on a sandbar. That's the honest truth. The whole island sits maybe 4 feet above the water on a good day, and you float down final with blue on every side, and the moment the wheels touch, you just start laughing. I did. I couldn't help it. And then it goes quiet, really quiet, because there are almost no cars here. We'll get to that, but first, let me tell you who made this trip possible. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. And listen, a trip like this one, the first time you fly yourself somewhere you could never drive to, that is a milestone that deserves a coin. AviationSoul.com. So you've shut down on the ramp at Tangier, and the first thing that hits you is the smell. It's salt and it's marsh, and underneath all of it, it's crab. Because this island is the soft shell crab capital of the nation, and they are not modest about it. You look around and there's no FBO with a leather couch and a coffee machine. There's a little terminal building, real modest, and there's a golf cart, maybe two, because that's how you get around here. Golf carts and bicycles and your own 2 feet down lanes so narrow that two carts passing have to breathe in. The whole main ridge of the island is a strip of houses packed shoulder to shoulder, white clapboard, picket fences, family graves right there in the front yards because the ground's too wet and too precious to waste on a cemetery out back. You have to see this. I'm walking down the main lane and it's crab pots stacked 10 feet high and it's watermen coming in off the water and out in the shallows. On every side, there are these little wooden shacks up on stilts. Crab shanties, that's where they keep the peelers. The crabs about to shed their shells and the men check them through the night because the window to pull a soft shell crab out of the water is measured in hours, not days. Miss it and the shell hardens back up and the money's gone. And here's the thing that stopped me cold. Listen to them talk. There's an accent here you will not hear anywhere else in America. Some folks call it the Tangier Brogue. It's got these round, tumbling vowels, and linguists have come out here for years and said it carries echoes of the English that the first settlers brought over from Cornwall 300 years ago. 300 years. Cut off in the middle of the bay, the way they speak, just sort of froze in place. You order a crab cake, and the answer comes back sounding like something out of a different century. I stood there and I just wanted them to keep talking. Now let's talk about lunch because that is why half of you fly here. You walk off that ramp and you make your way to the water and the crab comes out of the bay basically that morning, a soft shell crab sandwich, the whole crab shell and all because the shell's soft. That's the entire point. Fried up, golden and slapped between two pieces of bread with the legs hanging out the sides. And you eat the whole thing, legs and all. And it is unbelievable. Or you sit down family style, long tables, and they just start bringing food. Crab cakes, clam fritters, corn pudding, and these ham biscuits, and you pass the plates down the line to a table full of strangers who flew in from three different states, and by the end of it, you're not strangers anymore. That's the magic of a place like this. You showed up in an airplane, and you leave with lunch buddies. I sat down next to a couple who flew in from Pennsylvania in a Cessna 172. First time out to the island, and across from them, a gentleman who'd flown himself here every summer for going on 20 years. Same little airplane. And he's telling the new folks where to walk, what to order, which lane leads down to the beach on the far side where you can find sea glass and old bits of pottery washed smooth. That's ramp culture right there. Somebody who knows a place handing it to somebody who doesn't over crab cakes. And I want to introduce you to the people who actually live this, because Tangier is not a museum, it's a working town. I talked to a waterman, been crabbing these waters his whole life, his daddy before him, his granddaddy before that, out on the water before the sun's up, running his pots, and he told me the number of watermen still working out here has shrunk and shrunk, used to be hundreds, now it's a fraction of that. The young folks grow up, and a lot of them leave because the island's getting smaller, literally. That's the part I have to be straight with you about. Tangier is sinking or the water's rising, or both, depending who you ask. But the science and the watermen actually agree on what they see with their own eyes. The Army Corps of Engineers has studied it, and the numbers are hard. This island has lost the majority of its land mass since the 1800s. Whole sections that used to be neighborhoods are open water. Now, some estimates say that without serious intervention, the town could become uninhabitable within a few decades. They fought for a seawall. There's rock armoring around the airport and now protecting that runway. Because when you're this low and this exposed, the airstrip is a lifeline. It's medevac, it's supplies when the ferry can't run. It's the tie to the outside world. And I'll tell you, standing out there on that ramp, knowing the map is redrawing itself around you, it does something to how you see the place. You're not just flying in for a sandwich, you're flying in to witness a way of life that has held on out here alone in the middle of the bay for 300 years. And that is having the fight of its life right now. So let's talk about actually flying in pilot to pilot, because I want you to go and I want you to go smart. There's no control tower. You're on the common traffic advisory frequency, calling your own position, eyes outside, because on a nice weekend day, you will have company in the pattern. Everybody and their brother wants that crab sandwich. That runway runs basically north and south down the length of the island, so your crosswind is going to be a factor a lot of days, coming in off open water with nothing to slow it down. There's no obstruction to speak of on the approaches because there's nothing out there but bay. But that same wide open water can kick up a breeze that'll test your crosswind landing. So bring your best, fly the numbers. 2,400 feet is plenty for most light singles, but it's not a place to be sloppy and float half the runway away.
Check your notices to air missions before you go every time, because a small island strip like this can have its quirks, and conditions out on the water change fast. And here's the honest logistics piece. There is no fuel on the island, none. So you tanker in what you need to get back out. Plan your reserves like the professional you are, and don't let the crab cakes make you forget the arithmetic. And weather, respect the bay, it makes its own mind up about fog and low ceilings. And when the marine layer rolls in over water that flat, your visibility can go away in a hurry. Have an out, have a plan B on the mainland. Delmarva's got plenty of good fields if Tangier's socked in. But when it's clear, when it's one of those high, bright Chesapeake mornings, there's nothing like it. You lift off runway 2 and the island just falls away beneath you. This thin green comma of land ringed in crab shanties and white boats, and the water goes on forever in every direction, and you realize you just visited a place that a whole lot of people will never get to see because you can fly. That's the gift. That's the whole thing. This airplane isn't just a machine, it's a key. And it opened a door to an island in the middle of the sea, to a crab cake, to a waterman story, to an accent 3 centuries old in a couple of hours, door to door. Before I let you go, my thanks to the folks who actually keep this story straight, the Army Corps of Engineers for the erosion studies, and the watermen and townsfolk of Tangier who took the time to talk to a loud pilot with too many questions, and the linguists who've been documenting that beautiful old brogue before it fades. Go read up on them. It's worth your time. You can find us at radiohanger.com. And me, I'm going to fly back out there before the map changes again. You should too. Go while you can. Order the soft shell. Sit at the long table. Listen to them talk. This has been Ramp Check. Go find the fuel truck, go pre-flight, and go somewhere you could never drive.